This morning's sermon text is Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. I've entitled it, Blessed is the Man, which is how this psalm starts out. We're starting a new sermon series, and it's going to be in the Psalms. I've entitled the series, Our Relationship with God. The Psalms in particular reveals man's heart and emotions and struggles. Just like we heard Aaron read from Psalm 13 this morning, a good illustration, how long, O Lord, that's how we feel sometimes. And so we're allowed to talk to the Lord about these things. And there's nowhere more clear than in the Psalms. And as we look at the Psalms, Psalm 1 is an entry gate into the rest of the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms in the Psalter, and the very first word is the word blessed. Isn't that wonderful? And so every other psalm that we read then is supposed to be read through the lens of Psalm number 1. So everything we'll be talking about this morning then will also apply to all the rest of the psalms. So as Aaron read Psalm 13, then Psalm 1 applies to that, as we will see in a few minutes. And so it instructs us in how God wants to bless us and how he wants to speak to us. God is not supposed to be this intellectual being that we have up in our heads, but we're supposed to have a relationship with the Lord, who we talk to through prayer, and how he speaks to us through the Word. And so we have these conversations. And the Psalms also teach us how to obtain wisdom. It's important that we obtain wisdom, because all of Proverbs talks about the difference between the wise man and the fool. And sometimes we're both. So we need to understand what is wise. How do we make decisions that are wise and godly, not foolish? And as I said, the first word in this psalm is blessed or blessed. And so this is what God wants to communicate to us. And there's two ways in which we are blessed. And Aaron alluded to some of that already. First of all, we're in a state of blessing. When Christ came the first time, then he fulfilled the covenant of grace. And so our state is always in a state of blessing. As we looked at Philippians 1:6, we remember that what God has begun, he's going to finish. And so isn't that comforting news? And so he's given us new hearts. We are his children. This morning you are the child of God. That cannot change. So that's a state of blessing in which we are. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are new creatures in Christ. None of that is going to change. That's the state in which we're living right now. We're living within this covenant of grace. But there's a second way also that we're being blessed. It's because we're a work in progress. And because we're a work in progress, God hasn't yet completed what he intends to complete when Christ returns. And so when he returns, he will complete that and the work will be finished. So in this present state, we're between the two comings of Jesus Christ, his first coming and his second coming. And during this historical time in which we live, then we are living in the already not yet, as the theologians say. And so we're in great need then of having understanding of wisdom, because within us is raging a war. There's a spiritual war taking place every day in every Christian. There's no war in those who are not Christians, because they always do what they want to do. But the minute you become a Christian, there's a war that begins to take place within you. And so we are daily exposed to the temptations and the darkness of this world. Our sin nature is something that is desiring to go in that direction. And so how do we find the wisdom and the blessings of God in the midst of this war? And so as we see in Psalm 1, we'll say we have a part to play. Yes, we're walking in God's grace. Yes, we're walking in the covenant of grace. But there's certain things that God requires of us as well in order to be blessed. And so we're going to see what that is. We're going to see that we are to seek wisdom and to choose to listen. These are things that are exemplified by the war that's going on within us, because we don't do that at times. So, for example, there are many in this country who want to support abortion. Well, should we support abortion or not? Well, how do we know? We know because the Bible tells us. His word instructs us. There are many politicians right now, and I'm not taking any sides, don't hear that. But there's many, many lies. There's a lot of hatred that's taking place in this country. So how do we know what's being lied about? What is the truth? Where is wisdom in the midst of all these things taking place? How do we know who to believe? And so the word helps us with that. So is there anybody in here this morning who does not want to be blessed? I want you to raise your hand if you do not want to be blessed this morning. Or at home. I'll take my hand down because I want to be blessed. Well, I want to duly note that there is no hand in this room that's been raised. So we all want to be blessed, right? Amen? And God wants to bless us. And He's the one that knows how to bless us. We sometimes get a little confused. So Psalm 1 then instructs us and helps us on how to be blessed. And we can have this wonderful blessing that down deep in our hearts that we all want. So if you would turn with me now to Psalm 1, I'm going to read that. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I like that verse. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let's pray. Father, we ask You now to open our hearts to Your word. May You speak to each one of us individually as to the things we need to hear. We know that You do that, that You love us, that You care about us, and You know each one of us individually as well as corporately. And so we thank You for this great blessing that we're about to receive as You speak to our hearts, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Okay, our first sermon point is we have a big problem with our sin nature and with the world and with the devil, right? The unholy Trinity, right? The unholy Trinity. And so verse 1 informs us of what our sin nature is like, tells us how it acts and thinks and what not to do. So we've got a negative, if you will, way of being blessed. This is the way of thinking what not to do. This is the negative blessing, right? And so our sin nature walks in the counsel of the wicked. It stands in the way of sinners, and it sits in the seat of mockers. Our sin nature is like Satan's nature, right? It's a lying and a deceitful nature. It's incapable of telling the truth. And so that battle is taking place inside of us all the time. You have an enemy within. And you need to be aware of that. And you need to fight it. Romans 8 verses 6 and 7 say, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." Doesn't submit. Won't submit. This is what happened at the fall, right? Adam thought he could make decisions better than God could. He would decide what was righteous and was not righteous. And of course, he swallowed the lie. So we're blessed by God when we do not succumb then to the sin nature, the desires that reign within us. which we see listed here in the beginning in verse 1. And so Paul tells us then that we're all struggling with this. There's nobody in this room, no Christian in the world, that doesn't have this battle going on within their heart. We need to be wise to it and alert to it. Romans 7, 21 and 23 says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." Okay, so how do we discern which is right? There's this war taking place. How do I figure out which is right? What is true? What is going to be the way of blessing and the way of harm? When am I, as I'm traveling down the highway of heaven, waiting for Christ to come back, when am I taking an exit ramp into the darkness? These are things we need to know. We can be our own worst enemies. How do I separate the lies from the truth? The psalmist says it's through the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God in order to know what is truth and what is not truth. When you become a Christian, you don't automatically understand the entire Bible. So what is the greatest way in which you can bless yourself? What is the fastest way that you can gain wisdom and understanding? Spending time in the Word of God. Letting God speak to you. Being aware of this inward war that's raging within your hearts. Need to be aware when you're getting ungodly counsel. Because many times you're getting ungodly counsel and you need to know when that's happening. Proverbs says that in the midst of many counselors, there's wisdom. So be careful who you're listening to. Discern whether it's in line with the Word of God or not. Don't sit with those who are mocking other people. Don't participate in that. That's not of God. We're not to be mockers. The mockers are the one who are mocking Christ when he was on the cross. They mock righteousness and people who are good people, right? So don't join with them. So don't do these three things that are in verse 1. You will be blessed when you do not do them. Our second sermon point is, what should we do to be blessed in the midst of this war? So now we're looking at the positive side of blessing. What can I actually do then in terms of being blessed? And verse 2 tells us what a Christian should do. What does it say there? It says that we are to delight in the law of the Lord and on his law meditate day and night. Doesn't just say, well, it's time for me to do my, quiet time. I've got to pull out the Bible again. I'm going to read. No, it says delight. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear from God today. The lover of my soul, the one who's sending Christ back, the one who's going to glorify me and be in my presence, and I'm in his presence forever. That's the one I should be racing to. To delight in what he has to say, because he's going to impart wisdom and knowledge to me. And that's what I need in order to prosper in this world, be successful in his eyes, and to face and fight this battle that's going on inside me, to understand when I'm being foolish. And so where do we get this? We get it in the Word. Wisdom and knowledge come in the Word. Look at what some of the other scriptures have to say about this. We see a number in Proverbs, which is a wisdom book as well as the Psalms, right? Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord," or trusting in the Lord, "is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." A fool despises the word of God. A fool does not open the word of God. A fool realizes that there's lies going on inside about saying that that will bless me if I open the word of God. That's the thing you need more than anything else, is to open the word of God and let God speak to you. He loves you. He cares about you. He doesn't want you to hurt yourself by foolish decisions and actions and words. Proverbs 2, 6 and 8. For the Lord gives wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord gives wisdom. How does he give wisdom? Through the word. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. What does he hold? Victory. Don't you want victory? I think we all want victory. This war that's taking place inside of us, we want victory, don't we? I hope you want victory. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For those who are trying to obey, are not only hearing the word of God, hearing God speaking to them, but then asking God to help them for the grace to change and to want to walk in his ways. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Yeah, that's the God I want. I want him to watch over me, protect me. And so when I'm walking in the ways of his word, listening to his teachings, then this is what's taking place. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Don't forget it. But keep my commandments in your heart. Obey them. Keep them. When you do that, you're going to be blessed. Proverbs 7:1-3 says, my son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Store them up. Keep adding to them. Keep my commands and you will live. They bring life, success. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Wow. You see how it repeats over and over. This is the wisdom literature. This is what it keeps telling us. It's consistent. Proverbs 8:32-35 says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Listen. How do you listen? You open up the word and let God speak to you through the word. I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. You want to be wise? Open up the Bible. Listen to what God's saying. Apply what he's saying to your heart. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life. Finds life, not death. Finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Blessing from the Lord. And so Psalm 1 now instructs us how to be blessed. We are to delight in the law of the Lord and to meditate on that law day and night. The verses here in Proverbs say exactly the same thing, don't they? And so I want to encourage you to let these things seep down deep into your heart right now and think about, what is it that I'm doing right now in terms of waging this war? Where am I opening the scriptures and where am I not? Are you delighting in meeting with the Lord every day? Listening to what he has to say to you every day? Even if it's just 5 minutes, can you give him that much time? The reason he wants you to do that is so that you will be blessed, not because you can check off your private devotion time. It's your personal relationship with the Lord. And he wants to enhance that and build that. And be aware that in this battle that's taking place in your heart, that your sin nature, again, is a lying nature. And the primary thing that this sin nature wants to do is to keep you out of the Word of God. So when you say, I don't want to read the Word of God, guess which side you're lining up with? You're lining up with the side of your sin nature. The one that wants to destroy you. Stop you from getting wisdom. Stop you from getting knowledge. Stopping you from prospering. And the end of that is death. And you're going to be taking a lot of exit ramps off the highway to heaven into the darkness. And you're going to be stumbling around out there for a while until by God's grace He'll get you back on the path. Which He will. But do you really want to stumble around out there in the darkness and bring hurt and pain to your life? I hope not. So the Lord not only wants us to know the Bible, but to apply it to our hearts. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. So in this week's assignment, in the devotional that we sent out this week, the session sent out, the devotional on the Sermon on the Mount, I want to encourage you to begin to read it this evening. And then for the lesson for this week, it's going to be on the Beatitudes. I don't want you to just sit down and read it tonight and say, okay, I've done the lesson. And then I'm answering the questions at the end. Fine if you want to. But I want you meditating on it. The session wants you meditating on this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Let it get down, marinate down into your heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to humble yourself before God, which the word there is patakos, which means poor in Greek. That means you have nothing to give to God. You are destitute. You don't even have the two little coins that this poor lady gave in front of Jesus as she was exiting the temple, and she gave all that she had. You don't even have that. That's what patakos means. There's nothing you can do to bless God. He doesn't need your blessing. You're coming into His presence humbly, asking Him to guide and direct you into all wisdom and into a fabulous and wonderful relationship with Him, a place where you will trust Him. And so would you memorize that for Monday? Take another verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Maybe take a couple of them and let those things, think about it. Am I doing that? Ask yourself that. Are you doing that? Am I struggling with opening the Bible? These are the kinds of questions that God wants you to bring before Him. And when you do that, you'll be blessed, and you'll grow, and you'll mature. We ask God for His grace, because He knows we're not obeying. He already knows what you're doing and not doing, and there's nothing hidden from Him. And He's not condemning you for it. He wants you to grow and bless, blessing upon blessing. He wants you to be wiser and wiser as you get older. Romans 12:2 basically says the same thing. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. We just read that in verse 1. Psalm 1, didn't we? Yeah. Don't listen to the scoffers and sinners and the mockers. Don't do that. Don't listen to the world. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ah, there's Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. The renewing of your mind. How does your mind get renewed? In the Word of God. We need to have our minds renewed. We need to grow in Christ-likeness. We need to bless ourselves by doing this. We need to delight in the law of the Lord and to meditate on that law day and night. And you know, in the church in general, in recent years, it's very unfortunate, but this whole aspect of meditation has really been lost. I don't know in the churches that I've pastored of many people who are really into meditating on the Word that much. there's a lot of reluctance to do scripture memorization. Now, it doesn't make you a better person because you do these things, but it will bless you. And God wants to bless you with these things. And it will come into the practical areas of your life on a daily basis as you grow in understanding. And so, as we meditate upon these verses this week and the following weeks coming up before Easter, it's because the session wants you to be blessed. Try it. See what happens. God wants to speak to you in these times. And what God's asking the husbands and fathers to do is to be men of God, the spiritual leaders. And I'm going to meddle a little bit more. Not only are you to model this for your families, but you are to teach them how to do it and to join in with you. For the singles, if you're struggling with this, then I encourage you to find an accountability partner. Find somebody else that will say, yeah, I want to do this too. Let's bless each other, encourage each other. Could be another married person or not, doesn't matter. But find somebody that will you can talk to and ask for help with. And for teenagers, for children, before you leave the home, before you go off to college, I encourage you to establish this habit in your life because you are going to get tested big time when you head off for college. And if you don't have this into your life before you go, you're going to be exposed to all kinds of temptations. You have no idea yet what that's going to be like. So I want to encourage you to do that. Ask mom and dad to help you with that. And that brings us up to our third sermon point. What is the blessed man like, quote unquote? What's the blessed man like? Verse 3 tells us he's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose life does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Wow. Looking for promises from the Word of God? That's a pretty good one, right? Wow. This is what God's going to be doing. We looked at this briefly last week, just for a couple of minutes. But what a great picture of blessing. God has planted us by His grace and His kingdom. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of light. God did that. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. And so it's something that's been a great grace in our lives. And in this kingdom, there is the living water, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. That's what we have access to. Didn't have that before. So we've been blessed by God as He has saved us and planted us in this kingdom of His. And a tree is rooted in one place where it gets set in place. Wherever you dig the hole and set that tree, in this case it starts out as a seedling. We're seedlings when we get planted in the kingdom of God. We're babes, if you will. And that's where it's got to grow and mature. It can't move around and search out for the water. Right? Trees get rooted and they send out those roots and that's where they are. And so by God's grace, then He continues to pour out the living water and the Word of God. And He constantly waters us. And this is why it's so important that as He pours out this water, as we grow, as we open the Word of God, then we are maturing. And after a while, we start to bear fruit. There's a certain season where you don't know the Word of God, right, as a new believer. But as you grow in the understanding, then it says you're going to start developing fruit. And so the health of the tree is dependent on the water of God and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And so God's producing that in us. What a beautiful picture that is. And so as that happens in the proper season, it says in the season, right? That's what we read. Then it's going to produce certain fruit. And so in particular times of your life, you're going to produce particular kinds of fruit. I can't produce the fruit of a grandparent until I become a grandparent. Right? So there's different seasons. And so As we see that fruit producing, then what's the purpose of that fruit? Is it for me? Do I eat my fruit? No, you don't eat your fruit either. What fruit are you eating? Who are you feeding? Each other. And that's what the church is supposed to be all about. It's not about individuals. Well, it is, but it's also about the body, right, of Christ. And so the fruit that you're supposed to be producing then is going to bless the rest of the church. And so as we learn to live in light of the gospel and obedience to the word of God, then we're going to be producing that fruit and blessing others. And what does that look like? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the character of Christ that's being developed. That's the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what you're going to become like. Each one of us is going to be a little bit different in terms of degrees of that, but that's what's going to get produced, and that's what we're going to be feeding each other. You're going to get the love of Christ through me as I grow. I'm going to get the love of Christ through your gifts as you grow. We need each other. So I want you in the Word of God. The session wants you in the Word of God so you can grow and mature and produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is a character of Christ. We want you to grow in Christ's likeness so that you will be blessed and you will prosper, and that you will also cause the rest of the church to prosper. You know, the word like means similar. Similar to. And so verse 3 says, the blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. So what is the psalmist referring to? What is this likeness? Revelation 22 helps us understand. Last chapter in the Bible, right? It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city, Jerusalem, the heavenly city of Jerusalem, right? On each side of the river stood what? The tree of life. The tree. There it is. That's what we're looking for. The tree of life. Bearing 12 crops of fruit. Yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. For the healing of the nations. Why did Christ come? To reach us. Pantata ethne, all the tribes, all the nations of the world. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. So that's what's going to happen as you grow and mature in Christ. You'll become an amazing blessing. So as we delight in the Word of God and meditate upon it, we're going to grow in the likeness of the tree of life in the heavenly city of Jerusalem, which is being continually watered by the living Word himself, even Jesus Christ. What a great picture. And we will produce fruit in keeping with healing the nations. All the nations, including this nation. That's what's going to happen. We'll take the gospel to them. With the fruit God produces in us, we'll feed one another and bless our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the healing of the nations will take place as the gospel is shared in word and deed. What a glorious picture we have. And then our fourth sermon point is, who is the man who is blessed? In verses 1-3. Blessed is the man. Who is this man? I would suggest to you the man that's mentioned here is Jesus Christ. He's the only man who ever perfectly obeyed the word of God and meditated on it day and night. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. He used the word of God to defeat the temptations of the devil after he'd spent 40 days and nights fasting in the desert, in the wilderness. He was the living word who offered himself as the sinless sacrifice on the tree outside of Jerusalem. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, talked to his Father, "Father, not my will, but your will be done," completely submitted in obedience to the will of the Father, the Word of God. And while he endured the pain and suffering of the cross, he quoted Psalm 22. Terrible suffering in that psalm, but it ends in blessing. It ends in blessing, and that's what he was looking for. In himself, he bore the fruit of the gospel that would heal the nations and fulfill the covenant of grace in which we live today. Our sins are forgiven because he suffered God's wrath in our place. And we are the fruit that he has produced and the joy for why he went to the cross. You are his joy. He suffered God's wrath in our place, and then he was raised from the dead into newness of life as the firstborn from the dead. One who loves you completely and absolutely. And through him, you have received the fruit of eternal life. And you're a child of God. You are a child of God right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. I hope your hearts are worshiping him and adoring him because of this. God wants all his children to be blessed. He wants to speak to you every day in the Bible, and he wants you talking to him in prayer. He wants this conversation going on. He wants you meditating on his word day and night. If you've not been doing this, it's a very simple antidote. Ask God for the desire to do it, and by his grace, he will give you a new desire, and you will be blessed when you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the great grace in which we walk and this great covenant of grace in which we live. And we thank you that we know that the future is ours and that we will be glorified when Christ returns. Help us now, Lord, to dig into your word every day that you might speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.